Well, I thank the Lord for the privilege of being in His house this morning, don't you?
Yes, sir.
May God good, amen. I sure do want to thank Him for helping us this week. And felt a little bad Wednesday. I appreciate everybody prayed. And God's certainly faithful to help us, amen.
Yes.
Brother Jonathan Hull, if you pray and ask God to touch the Word of God and help our heart this morning.
Father, again, we come before you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the strength to come to the house of God, Lord, to come together in fellowship, Lord. Come, Lord, seeking, Lord, to hear from you, Lord.
Yes.
I pray, Lord,
oh, Lord, please.
Man of God, Lord, as he stands up there and
God, preaches
to our hearts, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you guide directly, Lord, give us strength and power, Lord, that there be power in the words you speak. Lord, I pray, Lord, you touch our hearts, Lord, that we may be open to receive what he has to give to us, Lord. I pray all these things in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. John 17. I'm going to do something a little different. This is John 17. Brother Height called the other day and asked me to try to say something from this morning. And instead of just trying to start in verse 1 and go verse by verse, I wouldn't get very far. The Lord just laid on my heart. What I'm going to do, I'm going to just go through this chapter and I'm going to point out a few things I think be of a help to our heart. Amen. Really, we look at verse 1 and it starts off just that first phrase there. It says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said. What we have here is our Lord is about to pray. I've read where many men call this the high priestly prayer. This is the prayer where the Lord Jesus Christ goes to the Father, amen, on behalf of those that serve Him and know Him, amen, as our high priest. And you'll find he prayed and thanked God for several things. He prayed and he asked God to glorify Him. You realize as he prayed this right here that he was getting close to that time that he would go into Jerusalem. And he would be judged and he would be crucified and then die and then resurrect and then go to the right hand of the Father. And I really believe that he prayed for us. He prayed for these men, these apostles, realizing, Brother Jonathan, that they were going to be facing things in days not too far in the future. After he went to be with the Father, they were going to face things that they, I don't really believe, yet really fully understood. We know he warned them that the world would hate them because they had hated Christ. He warned them of persecution, and we know all that. But I don't think they really realized or understood what they were going to face and that they would face days in the ministry that would eventually lead to their own death, their own martyrdom, just for standing for the gospel and standing for Christ. And Jesus knew that they were going to have a touch from on high. They was going to have help from the Father, amen. But I was thinking about this as I was reading over this several times. You know, I've learned that if you listen to somebody pray, you can tell a whole lot about them.
Right.
Hey, man, I know a lot of people, in just conversation, they'll say things. And sometimes it don't sound quite right, Brother Todd.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying? And it sort of makes you wonder what they really believe. But when you hear them by their head and they start talking to the Father, they usually get real honest. You'll find out what somebody really believes and what they're really like a lot of times by the way they pray. And I believe we can learn from our Lord's prayer here. And what I have here, there's six things that the Lord has spoke to my heart about that I want to look at here as far as the Lord's prayer here is what Jesus wanted.
Right.
Amen, what he wanted.
Right.
And before I really get on those things, I want to say this. We need to consider whom Jesus was praying for. Verse 9 tells us, says, I pray for them, talking about the apostles right here specifically. He says, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. In verse 20, though, it also adds to this, because it tells us, verse 20 says, neither pray I for these alone, talking about the apostles, but for them who also which shall believe on me through their word. That's me and you, brothers and sisters. That's everybody that would ever come to the Lord Jesus Christ for the new birth, amen, under the preaching of the gospel, amen. He's praying here for the church. He was speaking specifically on some of these verses about the apostles, but that also translates to us, Brother Todd. He's praying for all believers. He's praying for every preacher, every deacon, every Sunday school teacher, every church member, amen. He's praying for everybody that would come to him throughout all the church age. And that's a comfort in my heart. That's a blessing to me, Brother Robert, to know that the Lord Jesus Christ, about 2,000 years ago, bowed his head and prayed for me. Amen. I wasn't even here yet, much less born again yet. But he knew all about that, and I know when he went to that cross, he had me on his mind. And if you're his this morning, he had you on his mind too. And thank God to know that the Lord Jesus Christ, Brother John, is still praying for me. Is that right? Because he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Amen. And he's still praying for us. He's still talking to the Father about me, Brother Aaron. Thank God for that. But we can learn through this chapter. I've got six things here, and I won't try to go through them. Things that we know Jesus wanted for the church. Amen. Let's look at verses 2 and 3. As thou hast given power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Amen. Number one, the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to have the new birth. Amen. He wants us to have eternal life. Is that right? That's what he came for. That's exactly what he came for. He came to die for sinners. Amen. He came to do the redemptive work that sinners could be born again. Amen, and be in the family of God. That's absolutely necessary. Amen, none of the rest of this means anything if you're not his. This don't apply to sinners. This don't apply to the world. He wasn't praying this for the world. We've already seen this. This was specifically for the people of God. Amen. And he knew those that was going to be his. You say, I don't understand all that. I don't either. But I know right there it tells us, and it tells us in other places throughout the scriptures, that the Father gave those to him. Amen. And it tells us that all that the Father give him will come. Amen. I don't understand all that. But I know it's true. And I'm not going to wrestle against the scriptures. Amen. The Father ordained all this. Jesus Christ came and he died for those the Father gave him. Amen. And then in time, in our life, the Holy Spirit come by. Amen. Like I like to tell Brother Hyde, he gets tickled. The Holy Ghost come by and notified me of it one day. Amen. That's when I got under conviction of sin. Thank God I got born again. Amen. I got a holy telegram from heaven. Amen. Said, you're mine. And I thank God for that. Amen. When we know when Jesus was praying on this day, amen, one of the desires in his heart was for sinners to be saved.
That's right.
Amen. Let's look at the next one. Verse 6. He says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Jesus Christ prayed that we might keep his word.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I can't stress this strong enough, but I am sure without a doubt it was no accident that the Holy Spirit, when he told the man of God to pin this down on this account of the gospel, that he meant to use the word keep. Now, I know we're to obey the word of God. But that word keep is not the same word as obey. It includes obeying. We are to obey the word. But that keep, Brother Todd, is a word that implies something much deeper and richer than just obeying. And if you have some trash, what do you do with it? But if you have something that's of value to you, what do? You keep it. Amen. We're to keep the Word of God. The Word of God should be valuable to us, Brother Jonathan. It should mean something to us. Amen. If I lost everything I had in this world, if my bank account when I woke up in the morning was drained empty, and if I got an eviction notice, and if everything around me seemed to be going wrong, but all I had left was God and His Word, I'd have the most valuable thing I ever had. Nobody could take that from me.
Right.
Amen. And we're to keep the Word of God. It should mean something to you.
Right.
Amen. John, that Word of God got in your heart. Oh, that's what brought you to Christ.
Right.
You can't get saved apart from the Word of God. Ain't no sinner ever been saved apart from the preaching of this blessed book.
Right.
God said that He chose preaching. The foolishness of preaching to save those that would believe. Amen. It's been that way for 2,000 years, Brother Hyde. And thank God He's still got the book. He's preserved it for us. He's still calling men. And I said men, no women. Amen. I just thought throw that in for you. That's free of charge. Amen. The men. He's still calling men to stand up and proclaim the Word of God. Now, ladies, you can certainly testify. You certainly can testify. You can share the gospel through your testimony. Your own behavior. You ladies that's married, if you've got a lost husband, your own behavior, it says, can make a difference. They see you living for God. You don't have to say a word. Your life will speak it all. And God can take that and start pulling on them. I've seen it happen. But it's right. But the Word of God's precious. And we're to keep it. That means we're to protect it, Brother Hyde. I don't like these people want to monkey around with the Word of God. I don't like it. And I'm going to defend the Word of God. I know it don't need no defending. But the Bible does tell me to contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. Amen. Now, I don't want nobody coming up to me with no monkey book trying to read me and tell me that's what God said when it's contrary to this blessed old book. I ain't having that. I don't need man's word. I got enough of that in my own head. I'm sufficient to confuse myself all alone. I don't need no help. Amen. Thank God I trust the Word of God. I trust it. I can believe it. It's in me. Amen. It's made a difference in my life. This blessed old book, Brother Hyde, for 2,000 years has been changing lives.
Right.
Amen. That's right, because that is the instrument God chose to use. Is that right? His Word. His Word is powerful. Amen. And we've got the written Word. But I got news for you. The Word is Him.
Right.
Amen. Jesus said, this whole book testifies of me.
Right. That's what He said.
That's what He said. Thank God for the Word of God. Can I get amen on that?
Amen.
Thank God for the Word of God. Keep it. It means obey it. Count it precious. Amen.
Yes.
Let's look at verse 11. And now I am no more in the world. But these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ wants there to be unity among His people. We're to be one with the Father and with the Son and with the Spirit, and we're to be one with one another.
That's right.
Amen. Now, I'm a Baptist. I'm a member of a Baptist church. I come here to this particular Baptist church because I believe this is God's will for me to be here. Amen. I believe the Word of God's taught and preached faithfully from this pulpit. Amen. I get help. I get fed here. Amen. But and this may wrinkle some of you, but as long as nothing changed but the sign out there, and if they took the name Baptist off, it really wouldn't bother me. Because denominations is a men anyway. That's because everybody wants to split off their own little group, put their own little twist on the Word of God. And I thank God that most churches I know that still faithful to the Word of God are Baptist churches, and I say amen to that. Yes. Brother Hyde's grinned at me over there now. I'm getting on these Baptists. But I'm going to tell you what, we got a lot of churches says Baptist on the sign this morning. It's preaching heresy. Amen. So I'm not ashamed to tell nobody I'm a Baptist. But this don't lump me in with the whole crowd. Amen. I tell people I'm a Bible-believing Baptist. Amen. But there should be unity. Jesus does not want splits and fussing and fighting and carrying on and going on like that among his people. Backbiting. Rattling your tongue on one another. Huh? You're gossiping. Amen. If I got something to say to somebody, I'll guarantee you one thing. If I say it and they ain't around, I'd say it to their face or I won't say it. And I'm going to try to say it in love and try to say something that'll help them. And God knows I failed at that sometimes. But my heart's in that place. Because I want unity, Brother Todd. And I'll say this, and I'm going to brag a little bit on us. I think we've got pretty good unity here. And that's to the glory of God, and I thank God for it. We've got good unity with other good churches and a lot of other good men of God that's come here, and that we see them when we go off to camp meetings and stuff, and I thank God for it. I'm glad that God's let me meet a good little chunk of the family of God, and there's unity and love amongst us. And there ain't a bunch of fussing and fighting and going on. Amen.
Amen.
It ought to be unity.
Yes. Yes.
Around truth. Let me define it. There ain't no unity in falsehoods.
That's right.
We ought to be unified on the Word of God.
Amen.
If the Word of God says it, we ought to be like an army. Everybody ought to line up, stand straight, and march according to the leader.
That's right.
And if you ain't wanting to do that, you know what they do to trouble. Some of you people serve the military. You know what they do to troublemakers. Don't want to get in line. That's what God do to you. Amen. Is that right, Brother Hyde? We don't have to deal with nobody. I believe God take care of them. Thank God we don't seem to have out here. I thank God for that. People ask me a lot of times, say, how big's your church? I say, oh, we got a few. Them, I don't know. I don't count. I said, I guess when the place is full, we might have maybe close to 100. If everybody's there and ain't nobody sick. I told them, I said, you know what, though? I'd rather have 100 that's faithful and wants to do right and wants to serve God than have 5,000 down yonder somewhere in one of them big outfits. And half the crowd don't even know what's going on, don't care. That's why you ever ask yourself, why don't God move down there in them big outfits? Ain't nobody down there wanting him to move.
Yeah.
Thank God for unity among the people of God. You think about that. Said we're to be unified. We're to be unified as the Godhead's unified. That's pretty close. That's tight.
Yes,
they're in complete unison. And harmony. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit.
Yes.
Amen. Is that right?
Yes.
They all think alike. They all three believe alike. They all act according to the same purpose. Amen. Everybody's on the same page.
Yeah. Right.
And it's all for the glory of God.
Yes.
And that's where we ought to be.
Yes.
And I thank God we seem to have a good bit out here. And I hope it stays that way. Amen. You got any ideas now in your head? There, you want to mess that up? Raise your hand. We'll go ahead and pray for you right now. Amen. We don't want it in here. I'll have Brother Hyde back me up. I'm not speaking for the pastor, but I think he'd say the same thing. We don't want disunity in here. We want to keep the unity. It's a blessing. I want to say this. It's a blessing to me, Brother Milby and these other men that come out of town, comes here, and they always leave, and they always talk about what a pleasure it is to come here and how they get a blessing. That's because we're all in unity and pulling together, Brother Jonathan. And we want the same thing they want when they come to preach to our heart. They want to see God move and people get help. And God honors that, and we've got plenty of help, amen. And I thank God for it. Amen. Verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ, when he prayed, he wanted his people to have joy. Amen. I was talking to one of the ladies, lives in my building this morning, and I believe her intentions was in the right spot, but all she done for about 5 minutes was talk about, I'm glad I'm not like them wicked people. And I just looked at her and I said, you know what? I said, you'd feel a whole lot better when you get up in the morning if you just brag on God instead of complaining on them people.
Amen.
I understand we're all going to say it every once in a while. Sometimes it's necessary to point it out. He did say to mark them and avoid them. But to mark them, you got to say a little something about them sometime. That's for some of us in the right situation. But I'm going to tell you what, we'd all be a whole lot happier and more full of joy if we just brag on him a whole lot more. Amen. I've heard other preachers say it. Brother Hyde, I'm guilty too. And I ask you this morning to pray for me. I'm way behind on my praising. Amen. Amen. I need to praise him more. Amen. But he's good. I'm going to tell you what, you know God this morning, you ain't got no joy in your heart. I don't know what's wrong with you.
Amen.
Praise God. Do you know there's a difference between joy and happy? Happy comes from happenings. Circumstances around you. Joy comes from God. That's eternal. That's all the time.
Amen.
I like that song Sister Linda sings. But when things are going bad, but I can still pray. I can still sing.
Amen.
You know I know God.
Amen.
Amen. I wonder sometime where your joy is.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
I mean, praise God. We don't have to come in here with the pooch mouth all the time.
No,
I understand on Wednesday. A lot of you have been at work, you're tired, I sort of understand you drag a little bit. I drag all the time anyway, I'm just old and half crippled. Well, praise God, I try to put a smile on my face, and when worship time starts, praise God, I try to raise my hand and say amen every now and then. Amen. I want to praise him. He's good to me, Brother Ziegler. Is that right? He's better to me than anybody else has ever been. I got some people in my life been good to me. I'm not belittling that. Praise God. Get some joy in you.
Yeah.
Get it going. Praise God. Yeah. I'd like to see him blow the roof off his place in here one day. Praise God. I'm going to tell you what. I will say this, and I'm going to be honest. Some of the most effective services I've ever been in my life, it was quiet enough you could have heard a pin drop. Because of the conviction of God in the place. Everybody had their head down. And talking to God. But I'm going to tell you what, every service ain't like that. God rolls in, son, I'm going to tell you what, he'll hook a battery up to your joy every once in a while and you'll turn the switch on that run. Amen. Praise God. My brother Hyde said, look, I understand some of you just don't want to do it. That ain't your personality. Let it rip anyway. I've heard some people say, well, that just ain't me. That ain't me to, you know, be vocal out loud like that in church and all that. But I look at them, I say, well, doggone, I seen you down there at the ball game. Your team scored a touchdown, and you about cut three flips and had a fit for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell me you can't get happy over Jesus?
Right.
Better move on, make somebody mad. Let's look at verse 15 and 17. It says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from this the evil. Verse 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I believe Jesus prayed for his people because he wanted us to be sanctified. Amen. Amen. And hey, we're in the world, but we're not of it.
Amen.
We have got to be in the world to some extent. That's just the way it is. And we're in a fallen world, a sin-cursed world. You're not going to avoid it. You know, praise God, I've said it too, and I've heard of people say, I hate to go to Walmart, I hate to do this. You tell Brother Shank I was talking about him. I'll tell him myself this evening. And it's right. He aggravates me sometimes too, but I'm going to tell you what. Just look away. Just look away.
Yeah.
Don't try not to let it. Just look away and say, Lord, help me. I don't want to be affected in a bad way by all this worldliness. And a lot of it, we bring it in our own house. And you ain't got no excuse for that.
Sure.
All got quiet now. Sanctified, that means set apart, Brother Hyde. Is that right? Set apart for the Master's use.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Set apart from sin. Is that right, Brother Chris?
Yes.
Set apart from false religion.
Right.
Is that right? I need to practice this too, just better than probably anybody in here. We need to be more careful what we allow to go into our ears and into our eyes. Is that right? The Bible says, I shall set no wicked thing before my eyes. And those of us that has children and grandchildren, they're being affected by everything you let them hear and see. I don't know what. Well, I know what my family does. I ain't jumping on nobody. I ain't saying we got no problem in here. I'm warning you. Just keep being vigilant. You'd be surprised. Somebody told me the other day. They said, "Well," and it's sort of getting off the point, but I'm using this for an illustration. Somebody told me the other day, "Well, I like the fact our church has children's church because they're not old enough to sit in there in sanctuary and understand nothing yet. Their child is 10 years old. I told them, I said, you can set a 2-year-old beside you and you'd be surprised what they're picking up. They can't understand it like we do. But that's a seed being planted. Is that right, Brother Hyde? And somebody keeps watering it. Amen.
Yes.
And somebody keeps getting the weeds out. One day that seed going to bring forth some kind of fruit.
Amen. That's right. That's
the truth. So why would you want to take them out of the sanctuary? I don't even know why I'm saying this. Why would you want to take them out of the sanctuary unnecessarily and allow no good fruit to be planted in their heart? It'd be far better for it to get in them early.
Sure.
Young. And pray God will bring forth fruit from that seed, Brother Aaron, and save them while they're young before they get out there in the world and get ripped and tore up by sin.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Yeah,
amen. He wants to be sanctified. Separation is what a good Baptist call it. Amen.
Yeah.
Now look, I'm not going to go to the extent, I'm just making an example, I'm not going to go to the extent and say, bless God, I ain't buying my groceries nowhere where they sell alcohol. I don't know nowhere to sell groceries don't sell alcohol anymore.
Right.
Unless you want to travel 50 or 100 miles to go get groceries every week, you might find someplace. Here's the thing, it's real simple, Justin, just don't go down that aisle. Just because they said it, don't mean you're responsible for it. Unless you won't pick it up and take it to the house. Separation from the evil. Is that right? Here's the bottom line. I'm guilty of this, and I'm getting a little better. I need way more help, Lord, and you know I do. But here's the thing. It's a matter of what are you doing with your time. We all really, if we just be honest, I mean, look up here now. If we just be honest, we all probably spend more time on pleasure than we should. And not near enough time in prayer and reading the scriptures as we should. And we're probably all guilty of that. If you're not, God bless you. All right, God bless you. You're my example. I won't hang around you a while. I have problems with it. And I don't know nobody that doesn't. I'm just saying. Hey, as long as you stay, Brother Todd, you're supposed to grow in these things and get more mature. You know, when I got grown up, I didn't keep a toy box at the house no more for me to play with.
Amen.
Mature Christians shouldn't need toys. Oh, I got real quiet. Amen. That's what it is. Verse 26. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them.
Yes, yes.
I believe the Lord wants us to practice godly love. Oh, come on now, I didn't tell you that bad on the last point. You can't say amen to that, can you?
Amen.
We're to practice godly love. God been dealing with my heart for the last couple weeks, few weeks maybe, about some things. By nature, Brother Jonathan, I'm saying I can't help myself, and that's why I need God's help. I really can't. I can't help myself. By nature, I'm just sort of a bulldog. I tend to be a little critical sometimes. I tend to get overboard with it sometimes. I really do. A lot. And I've been asking God fervently for the last 2 weeks to try to help me with that. That when I see wickedness going on, that when I look at that person, my first thought's not to shoot them. But it's to pray for them, realizing that I'm flesh too. And I don't always do right either. And you know what? I'm glad God, Brother Keith, don't take me down to the spiritual woodshed and skin my hide every little time I do something ain't quite right. Now, you may not have no problem with that. I seriously doubt you have as bad a problem with it as I do. I need God's help. Brother Todd, the Bible tells us God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. For what? To die. To take the wrath of the Father for sin. God never asked us to make that kind of sacrifice. We couldn't. But if He loved sinners that much, don't you think we ought to at least try? And look, I know the world's getting bad. I know, son, they make an easy target. I mean, they don't even move. It's like a paralyzed deer 10 foot away. I mean, you can't miss them. But is it helping them or anybody else to shoot at them? I've been asking myself these things. Look, I believe we're to contend for the faith. I believe we're to stand for truth. But when you cross that line and you leave this side of the room where you're doing it in love and you're doing it to inform people of the truth because you want to help them, and you go to this side and you just start being sarcastic and mean-spirited about it, God ain't happy. God's not happy. Is that right? But we're to stand, and I by the grace of God, I try to do that, but I need to learn to do it more often in the right way. Amen. It's not careless to go to somebody that needs some instruction from the Word of God. It wouldn't kill us to go with a tear in our eye and a little bit of humility in our voice. Wouldn't kill us. Is that right? Lord prayed for a lot of things. That's just six things right there in that one chapter I believe the Lord wants, Brother Tom. Amen. God help us. God, you know, I want to do, I honestly do in my heart, I want to do what the Lord wants. And then I would think we've heard some things this morning. I know Jesus wants, because we know He prayed and He asked for it. Amen. May the Lord's prayer be answered. Amen. Heavenly Father, we do thank You. I thank You for each and every one. Lord, I pray, God, You'd bless these precious souls. I pray, God, that You'd meet their every need. God, I pray You'd touch them in their heart this day. Lord, edify Your children. God, convict sinners. God, have Thy will and way in this service we're about to enter into. Help Brother Hyatt. Lord, I do pray, God, Thy will be done in every heart. And we'll thank You for in Jesus' name. Amen.